Welcome. We're into this series called Strengthen. Before we continue, let's pray over the word. We need to have our hearts open. Father, prepare our hearts to receive your word. Prepare our ears to hear it, our hearts to receive it, and our spirits to take that word and drive it deeper into our soul this morning, Father. May we be open to hearing your word and also to doing your word. Help us to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for anointing my mouth, my mind and my mouth, and thank you for the anointing of every heart and mind to hear this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, well into this series we're starting, we're going to continue this series called Strengthen, because I believe that Strengthen is a great title for the series. I believe that Strengthen is a word for 2024. Strengthen, well, it means simply, we know what it means, it's to become strong. And I am believing that God is going to strengthen you. I believe that he will strengthen your faith. I believe he will strengthen your family, your marriage, your family. I believe he will strengthen your health. He'll strengthen you in your finances, strengthen you in your mind, strengthen your friendships, and strengthen us as God's great church. Amen? Isaiah 54, verse 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your inheritance, your descendants will inherit the nations and the desolate cities and make the desolate cities inhabitable. We have a purpose for being here on earth. Amen? Isaiah gives us four key words here on your screen. Enlarge, in other words, grow, stretch, flex, lengthen, endure in these times, and strengthen. Establish yourself and your faith in Jesus Christ. Today we're going to talk about two trees. And we're going to talk about two trees. We're going to talk about the palm tree and the cedar tree. And I like to talk about trees because God likes to talk about trees. God often uses trees as metaphors to describe our lives. And Psalm 92, verse 12, the scripture says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age, and they will stay fresh and green. Powerful promise. Today, the first thing I want to talk about is about us being like the palm tree. I want to talk about being flexible, able to bend, able to be stretched. And a great Bible analogy that describes flexibility and how we're supposed to be as flexible people is the analogy of the palm tree, the most flexible of trees. Here's some facts about the palm tree. Palm trees usually grow close to the ocean. They live close to the winds and the storms. They're some of the tallest trees. They grow up to about, most palm trees are about 80 to 100 feet. Some actually grow to 200 feet. There's some, they grow faster than most trees. They grow the world's largest seed. There's a palm tree called the Coco de Mer palm tree, where the seed is about a foot in diameter, and it can weigh up to 60 pounds. That's a big seed. They are the most flexible of trees. They can endure. The sable palmetto, they say, can bend up to 50 degrees without snapping. They can endure winds of 145 miles per hour. That's over 230 kilometer an hour winds. Those are hurricane force winds. The palm trees, they have a very thin root system, about 3 feet deep. It's a fibrous roots. But the root system just grows out. They're like a carpet. They just spread right out. So the heavier the storm, the more flexible the roots. And the deeper and the broader the roots, the more flexible the tree is for the storms. So instead of snapping, instead of breaking, you bend. Amen? So get this into your mindset. Every relationship that you have will have some wins in it, right? There'll be wins in the relationships that you have in your marriage, with your kids, and even with your friends. You'll have some winds blowing through those relationships. And you will always have issues, right? You will always have issues in your business. If you're a business owner, did you ever have a business that never had any issues or problems? No, it's just a part of it. And you know what? There will always be issues in the church. But the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Verse 13, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Flourish, what does that mean? It means to bud, to sprout, to shoot up, and to grow, and to be like the palm tree, flexible. Three words that make you flexible, that will make you flexible. Number one, on your screen, teachability. Teachability, Proverbs 9, verse 9. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. Psalm 86, verse 11. I could give you like a dozen right in a row. No, but one more. The psalmist says, teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your word. You know, I believe that flexibility and teachability on your screen requires something called a mindset of a student. We need to have a student mindset. You need to be a student of the word, which constantly asks questions. So, as a believer, are you asking questions? Or do you have all the answers? And the question is, are you learning? Are you growing in your faith? And who are you learning it from? And who are you following? You know, I believe a lot of people today, a lot of Christians, they're like a train without an engine. Or they're being led by the wrong influences. I believe that the first and greatest teacher is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher. We need to be taught first and foremost by Holy Spirit. Now, there are a lot of great preachers, a lot of great teachers, a lot of great authors that you can read about and you can follow. And I follow a few of them, and they're great. But listen, the very first teacher has to be Holy Spirit, right? You just can't go to, you know, I love Pastor Leon Fontaine. I used to, you know, and we have a connection to old Pastor Leon, but you know, I mean, he's still on the Miracle Channel. He's still preaching, you know, but such a great man, such incredible wisdom, you know, and I love to hear. But, you know, the stuff I hear confirms what I've already read and what the Holy Spirit is telling me in the scriptures so that it resonates and it merely helps me, amen? You know, we need to be led by Holy Spirit, not by human personality first by Holy Spirit. But I do believe that we need teacher, the ministry of the teacher. God is reviving the ministry of the teacher, the fivefold, because we need teachers to help us understand the word of God way better, right? But we need to have people that, you know, we need to pray about, you know, the teachers and the people that God wants to bring into our lives. And small group leaders are good teachers, I believe, because we kind of, we watch over what small group leaders teach and what they, you know, what they believe in. We are careful about that they're lining up with the word. Amen? Acts chapter 18, there was a young believer, his name was Apollos, and the word of God was just starting to catch fire in the book of Acts. Paul and Silas and Peter were preaching the word of God. Young guy comes on the scene, his name was Apollos, and he's really into the word of God. He is a learned man. Acts 18:25, he had been taught the way of the Lord. He was taught. And he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. However, he knew only about John's baptism. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately. You see that? Paul put Aquila and Priscilla into Apollos' life. I mean, he was preaching them. He was very effective in his argumentation and his preaching, but he needed more. And so they took him aside to explain the way of God more accurately to him. You know what I believe? I believe they taught him all about Holy Spirit. I believe he got water baptized. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe he became dynamic in his preaching and his teaching. A student mindset. Apollos had a student mind. He could have said, "Hey, I know more than you guys. Who are you to tell me what, you know? You know, I already know what the word says." But he was open. He had a student mindset. Student mindset means that I always get it right, but it does mean that I'm learning, that I'm growing, and that I'm getting better with the Word of God. Amen? Let's make it simple. I want to make it so simple today. I want to say, above all, you've got to read your Bible every single day. Amen? You've got to read your Bible. If you're a believer, you've got to read your Bible because it is the connection to your faith. It is your connection to your spiritual growth and to your spiritual strength. There's just no way around it. You've got to read your Bible. And listen, and when you read it with expectation. Read it expecting that God is going to speak to you through the Word of God, because He will. I believe that every single day we need to hear what God is saying to us through the Word. Amen? And I believe that's more possible. I want to challenge you, be an all-in student of the Word of God. Be a true disciple of Jesus. Amen? I said amen. I don't know how many times I'll keep on saying it today. Psalm 32, verse 8. The Lord says, "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or a mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control." In other words, what's he trying to say? Paul's saying, don't be an A-S-S. No, I spelled it right. I didn't say it. So, don't be a donkey. Right? Don't be a donkey. He says, have a teachable spirit. Have a learner's mindset. And something more, have a submissive spirit. Have a desire to submit, not just to the word, but to be able to come under somebody who will help and guide you in learning to become a disciple. Have a discipleship mentality. Amen? First thing about, you know, if you're going to be flexible like the palm tree, you're going to be strong, you got to have a teachable spirit, a hunger to grow and to learn. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 50 years. There's so much you need to learn and grow in. And that God wants to give you insights so you can use your insights to help other people. Amen? Amen one more time. Amen. Thank you. Okay, second thing about flexibility is this word called humility. Humility. Bending low in humility. Humility is surrender. It is the yielded position. The yielded position that enables us and empowers us to walk in the authority of a believer of Jesus Christ, the authority that God has given us. And humility is so key to have humility is one of the greatest things that attracts the anointing of Holy Spirit in your life. You show me a proud, arrogant person, you will see very little anointing on his life. But you see a person who is submitted to God and who's humble and he's meek, and you'll see that's a prime candidate, that's a prime attribute of having the anointing. Humility attracts the anointing. Jesus demonstrated humility, John chapter 13, 5. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' clean feet. No, dirty feet. If there's anybody that had dirty feet living in those times, it was the fishermen. Dirty, smelly feet, because they never wore sandals. They're in and out of water. And he washed those dirty feet and he dried them with his towel. He bent over and he washed them in the ultimate act of humility. I said, just imagine that. The hands that created the universe are the very hands that washed their feet. Isn't that? You know, from the magnificent to the menial, Christ did it all. Nothing was above him. You know, Jesus is saying this. Listen, if you want to be great, then bring your towel, bring your basin, and start washing people's feet. You know? Because it's not about you. It's not about your popularity, not about your fame. It's about serving other people. And that's what Jesus did. Amen? That's what he did. We can all serve. Everyone can serve. So, dear, question, do you want to wash feet? How do you? Okay, well, let's wash feet. All the front row, take your shoes off. Everybody in the back row is going to come wash your feet. No, we could do that too. But you know what? You know, how do we wash feet today? You serve. You serve by joining a team, maybe greeting or ushering or helping in kids' church or getting on the sound booth, right? John would say, amen, we need people help, right? You wash people by serving people. You wash feet by serving people. Get into a small group. Be a part of a team. Do something that serves. Do something that serves. The anointing is drawn to that humility. The anointing is drawn to humility. Amen? The anointing. James chapter 4, 6. God resists you. Resists you. Do you hear that? He resists you. I mean, it's one thing to have the devil resist you, but to have devil and God resist you, wow, you don't stand a chance. God resists you when you are proud and continually pours out grace, his mercy, his favor when you are humble. Verse 10, be willing to be made low before the Lord and he will exalt you. He will lift you up in honor. Third word, resilience. Like the palm tree, resilience. Resilience is simply the ability to bounce back from difficult, from challenging situations. You know, it implies inner strength, inner integrity. And it speaks of durability and this capacity to persevere and to recover in the face of the wind. Amen? Here's what I believe. I believe that resiliency is Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit. I believe that Karen and I have endured 34 years of ministry and storms because of Holy Spirit strength. Come on. 34 years. You should be applauding that. Amen? Most pastors quit after 5, right? It's because of Holy Spirit strength. 34 years we've been pastoring. Can you imagine that? We were teenagers. We were barely, 12 years old. We're not lying, are we? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Where do you get that power from? Through his Spirit. Where is it? In your inner being. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens me and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. It was Jesus said, but you shall receive what? Power. When what? Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses. Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It's not by might, nor by power, but it's by Holy Spirit. Every single one of us. Amen? I say sometimes you need Holy Spirit. I say no, not sometimes. All the time. You need Holy Spirit in you to strengthen your inner person, to strengthen your inner man. Question, how did you keep going through COVID, through those last 2 or 3 years? How did you keep going through COVID? Through all the fear, all the control, manipulation. I can just go on and on. How did you keep going when people deserted you, just left you? How did you do that? The answer is Holy Spirit. That's right. Answer is Holy Spirit. Listen, we can't fight today's battles with yesterday's strength. Right? It's futile, right? It's defeating. We need fresh oil today. Fresh oil and fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit every single day. And in my prayer times, when I'm praying, I'm asking for God. You know that which is when we pray that Lord's Prayer, you know, Lord, give us today our daily bread. I'm praying not just for the food for my stomach and the shelter of my home, but I'm asking for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because with the infilling of the Holy Spirit comes wisdom and comes direction and comes strength. You know, and I'm saying, God, fill me afresh. Because I'm emptied out from yesterday. I need a fresh infilling. Every single day, God will fill you afresh. Why does he need to fill you afresh? Because you leak. You leak, right? It drains out, gets used up. Holy Spirit's presence and the ability to drink in God's presence and power is for you every single day. The righteous will flourish like a what? Palm tree. Teachable, humble, resilient. But here's another thing. Here's the thing about Psalm 92. There's a second tree. Psalm 92, verse 12. I'll read it from the Amplified. The uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Be long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Flourish like a palm tree. Grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Qualities. Majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. Cedars of Lebanon were big trees. Here's some facts about cedars of Lebanon. Up to 130 feet high. Majestic, incredibly towering trees. 130 feet high. Had massive trunks up to 8 feet wide. Very stable trees. Multiple trunks. Maybe you see that next picture. They had multiple trunks, but look at the size of that. And that's incredible. Multiple, very stable, very durable. Multiple trunks. Had rough, scaly bark that was resistant to things like pests, rot, incorruptible. They had this, when you cut it up and you meet planks into it, they had this warm, rich, warm red color with a beautiful fragrance. The cedar tree was also free of knots. If you look at a cedar wood, there's no knots in it. Free from knots. Not you guys, not the knots that we have. We love the knots we have in our church, right? Free from knots. So great to build with. So usable of wood. Cedars are mentioned 103 times in Scripture. Moses used the cedar bark to cure leprosy. So I'm going to take a bit of a detour. Here, Leviticus chapter 14 describes the ceremonial law of cleansing the leper, okay? It's all written out in the book of Leviticus. Now, I know when I say Leviticus, if you're a scholar of the word, you say, oh man, Leviticus, such a boring book. But look, it's not. It's not a boring book because it gives us, particularly chapter 14, an incredible picture of what Christ has done for us. Leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. Sin that slowly eats away the body, eats away your soul. And it's a slow death. Sin is our rebellious nature that opposes God. Listen to here. Here's what happened. Leviticus 4:14. The priest shall order that two live clean birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn and hyssop be brought for the person to be cleansed. Then the priest shall order that one of the birds be killed over fresh water in a clay pot. He is then to take the live bird and dip it, together with the cedar wood, the scarlet yarn, and the hyssop, into the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. 7 times he shall sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the defiling disease, and then pronounce them clean. After that, he is to release the live bird into the open fields. We read it really quick, but here's what we see. We see two birds, right? Two birds. We see the hyssop branch. Hyssop is an antioxidant. It helps to cure cancer, viruses, asthma, and even ulcers. Then we see cedar wood. The cross of Christ was made out of cedar. We see the scarlet thread. So here's what would happen. The priest would take the one bird, and he would slay that bird over fresh water, and he would drain the blood into this pot. Then he would take the live bird, and he would tie it with the scarlet thread, the bird and the branch of hyssop, to the cedar wood. Then he would take the bird, and he would dip it into the blood of that first bird. And then he would sprinkle the leper seven times. Seven times. Seven is a number of perfection. It's actually saying that the blood is enough. Amen? So, and then after that, the bird would be set free. So what's the significance of all this? Well, this is a New Testament ceremony that's pointing. This is an Old Testament ceremony that's pointing to the New Testament remedy for the sins of mankind. So, significance of all this. Christ, who is Christ? Christ was a bird who gave his life. The cedar was the cross, represents the cross. The scarlet thread was the blood that paid for all our sins. The bird that was set free is us. We are the other bird that was set free, and we are the leper who was made clean. Wow. Such a beautiful picture of the cross. Right? Of what Jesus did for us. The cross is made out of cedar. Cedars. Strong, tall, strong, usable for the Lord's service. And cedar is a tree that's symbolic because the cedar was one of the most useful, most valuable trees ever on the face of the earth. And God's desire is for you and I to be useful to him. Amen? The cedar was also used in building the temple for three reasons. Number one, because I said before, there was no pests in the wood. In that wood, no pests, no rot, no bugs. No. In Nelson, we have a cabin. And one of the rooms is made out of cedar. And Karen said, there are absolutely no bugs in that cedar room. We have clothing, we have bedding, we've got towels in there. There's no bugs in there. Second reason why the cedar was used in the temple, because of its beautiful fragrance. Beautiful fragrance. Third reason, because we said there's no knots, so easy to work with. The wood didn't twist, the wood didn't warp. Such beautiful wood that was used to overlay the walls of the temple. And I believe that God is saying that he desires you and I to be like the panels of cedar in his house. Cedars of Lebanon are also called the cedars of God. In Song of Songs, it describes the majesty of the cedar, and really what it's describing is the majesty of Jesus. Song of Songs 5 verse 15. His appearance is like Lebanon, excellent, stately, and majestic as the cedars. Okay. In the book of Ezekiel, it describes Jesus as the head of a church, and it uses this example of the cedar tree. Ezekiel 17:22. God the Master says, I personally will take a shoot from the top of the towering cedar, a cutting from the crown of the tree, and plant it on a high and towering mountain, on the mountain of Israel. Now, the church is the mountain. The church is the mountain of the Lord. And when Christ is crowned as King and Lord and head of over his church, then this is what will happen. The next verse, it will grow, putting out branches and fruit, a majestic cedar. Birds of every sort and kind will live under it. They'll build nests in the shade of its branches. A life-giving entity upon the earth is God's church. The cedar is a symbol of greatness, nobility, strength, and incorruptibility. Like I said, the cedars is one thing they noticed was the height of that cedar. Cedars are tall trees. We said up to 130 feet. Cedars stand tall. And I believe that God is saying, like the cedars, we too are to stand tall. Stand tall as the people of God against corruption, against moral decay, against the darkness that seeks to overtake our cities and our land. and our children and our families. Amen? I believe that this is the hour that we need to stand for truth. This is the hour when we need to stand for what really matters. Amen? And it doesn't matter what public opinion is. And it doesn't matter what other people think, right? To make a difference, to overcome the evil one, you have to make a stand. Amen? Amen? This is the hour we need to do that. Billy Graham said, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Every other rock is a shamrock." And that's the truth, right? See, we can't stand on our own righteousness, but we can stand on his righteousness, on the cross and on the blood of Christ, on the victory of the cross. And you know what? And we can stand on the promises of God. How many promises are there in the Word of God? We can stand and believe for every single one of the promises of God. We can stand and believe God for all those things. You know, and I believe that in these times, I believe that God wants to give his church a divine backbone. A divine backbone to stand up for what is really right, for what really matters. And it's so easy to bend to public opinion and just go along the flow and never speak up where all this stuff has taken place in our education systems, you know, in society. And we can just let it just go. But God is saying it's time to stand up as the people of God, you know, and to make a difference. And the way to overcome, to make a difference, to overcome the evil one, is to make a stand. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, there are four times it mentions the word stand. Verse 13, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." To stand. You need to stand. Stand. Stand when prayer doesn't seem to be working. Stand when the word of God doesn't seem to be coming to pass. Stand when that healing hasn't yet manifested in your body. Amen? And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand. You know, and be that person that declares, "I will not back down on what God has promised me." Amen? God is calling us to be like palm trees. Flexible, teachable, humble, resilient, triumphant. He's called us to be like cedars, strong, tall, incorruptible, and useful. But listen, all this, one more point, all of this is in the context of being planted in the house of God. Being planted in the place where you're hearing the word from your pastor and your leaders, amen? Being the place where you give, where you're serving. Being the place where you give your tithes and your offerings. It's the place where you drive down your stake and said, "I'm committed here." It's the place where you're committed to the vision and the mission of the house. Amen? It's the place where your friends are. It's the place where you worship. Psalm 92, verse 13, "Planted in the house of the Lord, they will," what? "Flourish in the courts of our God." And I say it's amazing how the devil causes people to slowly deconstruct their faith. Not obeying the word, or not obeying their leaders, or not even praying anymore. No. If the devil could do anything to you, you know what he would want to do to you? He would want you to get uprooted, to not be planted. And I say, you know, these are the days, these are the times. We're living in a season, we're living in a world right now where, you know, God is calling us to be like a palm tree, like a cedar tree, and our roots have got to go down deep. Amen? And I love this picture. This is my home church, a diagram. Our roots have got to go down deep. They've got to go deep into Christ, deep into the Word of God, deep into worship, deep into friendships, deep into serving, deep into giving, and deep into prayer. Amen? Otherwise, the storms of this life are going to uproot you. And the enemy comes to do nothing but to rob, kill, and to destroy. He's after you. He's after your family. He's after the generations. And this is the time we need to be like palm trees, resisting all the storms, resilient, coming back, still there, still serving Jesus, still hot after God. Amen? This is the time we're like cedars, strong, stable, dependable, useful to God. Amen? I'm shouting. You know, I say, you know what? You know, where's... Yeah, just give Jesus a clap. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The question is, are you taught? Are you being taught? You know, are you being taught? You know, you need to be taught, your kids need to be taught. This aspect of serving, are you serving? Are you using your gifts and your talents and your ability to serve God, right? This aspect of giving, are you making the house of the Lord stronger financially? Amen? So, there's this powerful promise. Get planted in the house of the Lord and you will flourish in all the ways of your life. Amen? I say we need to declare who we are. Declare who you are. You want to do that today? If you want to, please stand. Let's make the stand. Let me lead you into a declaration. Are you ready? I want you to just shout it out loud. Here we go. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I declare. I'm a palm tree.
My roots are deep in Christ.
Jesus is the Lord of my life.
I'm a cedar.
I'm strong.
I'm growing.
I'm standing.
And I'm
useful
for the kingdom of God.
All because of Jesus. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for making us strong, stable, resilient. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you that we will flourish in the house of God. Be seated for a minute. Bow your heads just for a minute. I want to say, you know, you may be here and you've never given up your old life. And you've never, because of that, you've never received Christ's new life. Eternal life. The gift of eternal life. Heaven is your gift. An abundant life, a life that makes a difference here right now. And if that's you, you can make that decision today. You need to receive Christ, but you got to let go of the old. Or maybe you once made that decision, but you moved away from God's plan and future for your life. Today, God throws out a challenge to you. Receive Jesus Christ today into your heart. Receive the gift of eternal life. Receive God's plan and will for your life, and you'll never, ever regret it. And the second challenge is those who maybe made that one decision once, but you need to give your heart back to Jesus. And you can do that today. So if that's you today, I want you to pray this prayer with all your heart. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I believe that you died to pay for all my sins by the shedding of your blood on the cross. And today, Lord, I repent of my sins. I turn from my sins and I receive you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.